Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. First of all, very Merry Christmas to those of you that's tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. A very Merry Christmas to those of you that's tuned me in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. And a very Merry Christmas to those of you that's tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we are now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. And a very Merry Christmas to those that's tuned in by the way of Internet Radio at earsradio.com and 11 o'clock. And if you're listening to me right now by the way of my website, which is PastorKenHarger.com, you go to the meter stories page that is there, and you click on that. You can listen to it right there, or you can download it. A very Merry Christmas to those of you that's listening by the way of PastorKenHarger.com on the media stories place. God bless you for being with us, each and every one, and I'm just looking forward to sharing this message with you. The Christmas message is that beautiful story that never grows old. And we know no matter what happens in your life, we need to come back to this Christmas story and just celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind into our world. He loved us so much that he was willing to become one of us and that we might gather with him. And so our message this morning is talking about the idea that Christmas is God just loves to take the insignificant and make it significant. The shepherds learn of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's always been my favorite story of the Bible story, is the shepherds. And I want to say right up front, now Christmas Eve at Shiloh Community Church, that's our campus in Orleans, at Shiloh Community Church, we're going to be doing the Christmas message on the same thing, on the idea of the shepherds learn. I did it about four or five times through my years of being pastor, and I have a sheep that's always been loaned to me by the name of Lizzie. She comes and helps me tell the story, and I dress up like a shepherd, and I tell the story Christmas Eve. It only takes about a half hour or so, and then we'll have some candlelight and some music and so on, and I just enjoy telling that story. And they asked me if I want to do it again, and I thought, yes, I want to do it one more time at least, and so we'll just see what happens, okay? But I'm looking forward to telling the story, and I give you a personal invitation. Come and join us, Shiloh Community Church, 6 o'clock Monday evening, Christmas Eve, that we might join together and hear the message of how these insignificant shepherds heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And come meet Lizzie. She's just a people person, a sheep people person, and she loves people, and we just would love to have you come and meet her. Well, that's enough of that. I don't want to just push my own agenda, so to speak, and so we got to song we want us to listen to. There's something going on in that insignificant town of Bethlehem. Do you know that Bethlehem was one of the most insignificant towns around at that time? Jerusalem was the capital. Jerusalem was the religious center, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to be born in little insignificant Bethlehem. God just loves to do that. So let's listen to the song, and then I'll come right back and have a word of prayer with you, and we'll get into our message that we have for this morning of how these insignificant shepherds learn of the Lord Jesus.
Shepherds left their sheep on the hillside fast asleep. Why have wise men traveled from so far? What's that sound the whole world hears? Are there angel choirs near? Have you ever seen so bright a star? There's something going on this tiny sleepy town. There's something going on in Bethlehem. Who's this child that Mary holds? Is he the one the prophets told would come and bring salvation to us all? Could it really be this child who will redeem and reconcile? Lying in this simple wooden stall, there's something going on in Bethlehem. There's a special feeling in the air. There's something going on in Bethlehem. Heaven has come down to this tiny sleepy town. There's something going on in Bethlehem.
Something going on in Bethlehem, folks, and we need to know that it's something that is great and wonderful, something that is very precious. Heavens came down in that little town of Bethlehem, and we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. But before I do, I've had sponsors that have helped me through the years, making sure we can keep this broadcast on the radio, and I just love that. I appreciate those that's helping. I got some new ones even helping me now, and I want to say Merry Christmas to each one of them. So first of all, Merry Christmas to Bell and Judy Hammond. They're from the Belding area. I appreciate your financial support. Merry Christmas to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area. They've been supporters for a long time. Merry Christmas to Gloria Spencer. She's one of our new ones, and she's sponsoring in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans. And Merry Christmas to Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, from Greenville. And a Merry Christmas to Marie Rivard in a memory and honor of her husband, Fran. And she's from Dayton, Tennessee. And we appreciate each of these supporters so much. And also a Merry Christmas to K.N. Kingsinger, who has been so faithful through the years and picking out the music for my broadcast. And she said she'd do it another year, so I'm excited and ready to go for another year. Give you an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. Our Saturday evenings, we get to be begin at Shiloh at 6:30, Sunday morning at 9, contemporary service at 10:45, and then our Greenville campus, the old Lutheran church located on M91 up there by the new McDonald's, and that service is 11 o'clock. And don't forget, Pastor Ken Harger acting like a shepherd, and Lizzie's going to share the Christmas Eve service with you Monday night at 6 o'clock. Well, I want to pray for our listening audience. I want you to have a good Christmas listening audience. I've enjoyed almost another year sharing these messages, and I've enjoyed all of those that's been a part of my Facebook page and all the ones that follows me there. And then I get to put the Facebook messages that I share through the week, put them together and make a radio broadcast. And I have just really enjoyed this past year, and it's been good for me because it's got me back into studying a little more that I was really missing doing. And so that's been very good. So let's just have a moment of prayer. Dear Father, I'm coming in behalf of the listening audience this morning, asking your special blessing to be upon each one as we move closer to the Christmas holiday. I need to realize and I need to remember that we need to celebrate this birth of the Lord Jesus, but we need also to celebrate the fact of what he came to do for us, to give us the forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life. And dear Father, you are so good to give us that Son of yours and allow us to be able to have this salvation that he paid the price for. But Father, there's people who go through difficult times at this Christmas season. Their celebration is just kind of hampered a little bit. Some of it is because they've lost a loved one since last Christmas. This is their first Christmas without their loved one, and I'm remembering them this morning. I'm asking you, dear Father, to give comfort to those that have lost a loved one in 2018, and this is their first Christmas without them. Would you be pleased to bless them and comfort them in a very special way? Father, many of us have had a fairly decent year as far as finances are concerned, but we know that's not true about everybody. So, dear Father, I pray that you just bless those that's in some kind of a financial need, some kind of a physical need, some kind of a spiritual need. Dear Father, would you minister to the listening audience from the youngest to the oldest, and would you meet the needs of the families of each of our people that have got me tuned in this morning? I want you to not only bless them, but I want you to bless their families and minister to them in a very special way. Now, dear Father, thank you for loving us. We're going to talk about those shepherds that you brought the message to, and I want it to be something special to realize that you take insignificant people and you make them to become significant in your kingdom. God, you're so good at that, and I appreciate that. We just listened, Father, to the song about that little town of Bethlehem. That was your choice where this one Jesus was going to be born. You even told way back in your Old Testament time, you reminded us that that little town of Bethlehem, even though it was very insignificant, was going to bring into the world the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, we'll start right in with this message that I want to share with you that God does just so desire. I want you to get a hold of that because he desires to use the insignificant. Sometimes I have people say to me, and I could have said that of my life some time ago too, I have nothing to offer. But you know, no matter how little you have to offer, old little town of Bethlehem, no matter how little you have to offer, God can take that insignificant and make it significant. The shepherds learn of the birth of Jesus. This is my favorite story. I've already said that once. I'll probably say it a few more times. My favorite story of the birth of Jesus. When the angels of heaven shared with this insignificant shepherds about the birth of baby Jesus. I've shared this story many times at Shiloh Church and been asked to do it again, and I'm going to do it again. This is my last plug now. December 24th, 6 o'clock, Shiloh. Pastor Ken Harger sharing a message along with Lizzie about the shepherds learning of Jesus. I've always loved the Bible speaking about the people who can trust in God are referred to as sheep. You know that? People are referred to as sheep. Sheep are one of the most mentioned animals in the Bible. When Jesus was teaching, he used sheep a lot of times in his teaching. Sheep were also mentioned a lot in the Old Testament, like in Isaiah 40, 10 through 11. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the little lambs in his arms and carries them close to his own heart. His own people are like a flock of sheep. He guides them safely through the wilderness. He keeps them safe so they are not afraid. And I love Psalm 100, verse 3. That's a couple other psalms in there. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us, not we ourselves. We got to get a hold of that. We're not self-made people. Matter of fact, if you leave us to ourselves, we'll probably end up in disaster. He says, the Lord, he's the one that made us. We are his people. I love this next thought. We are the sheep of his pasture. And right now on planet Earth, that's where the pasture is. That's where we get to graze. That's where we get to move around. That's where we get to enjoy the still waters and all the other things that's mentioned about the sheep. In the new year, 2019, I have three messages I want to deliver on the shepherd, on Psalm number 23, because that's always been a very special portion of Scripture for me, and I want to share a message from that. I came across this in my studies, and I love it, so I'm going to share it with you. Sheep are one of the dumbest of all creatures. But most animals, in many cases, will survive if released in the wild. They'll learn to fend for themselves and make it. But sheep, released into the wild, cannot survive. Sheep have no survival skills whatsoever. They are totally dependent upon the shepherd, just like we are. The sheep come to know, and when the shepherd speaks, they follow him because he's got a plan for them and he wants to do something for them that day, and they know that. So I just want you to join me in this thought about understanding the sheep and the shepherd. I think it's so important to realize that God is saying, you are the sheep of my pasture. I want to be your shepherd. I want to lead you. There's a relationship between the sheep and the shepherd that is so special. And we need to get a hold of that, that that's something that is going to make a difference in our life. You know, life is about relationships. Been doing a lot of funerals just lately, and I just remind myself and I remind the audience often when I'm doing a funeral, the relationship is a survivor. You know, we have in our lives that, you know, we have brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and children and grandchildren. You know, when death comes, that person that has passed away, that relationship that we had with them when they were here, that relationship still carries on. Have you ever noticed your dad is still your dad? Your mom is still your mom. My mom's been gone 17 years. She's still my mom. I still have tremendous reverence and respect and honor for her. My stepdad's been gone a lot of years. My biological dad's been gone a lot of years. But I still have respect for both of those. Lost some brothers and a sister, two of our children. They're still my daughters. I have two daughters that have passed on. And yet they're still my daughters. The relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is a beautiful thing. And we want to understand that God uses the insignificant, not only of the sheep, but also of the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus' birth was announced by angels, which is the way it should be for the gift that came from heaven, the very Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, should be announced from heaven. But it seems strange that this good news about this Savior, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it didn't come to the kings. It didn't come to the leaders of that day. Rather, they were spiritual, like priests and nobles and those kinds of things. The audience the message came to was the shepherds. The shepherds. those insignificant shepherds caring for sheep out in the fields. At the time of the birth of Jesus, I need to say this, that's not being trying to be politically incorrect as we talk about it today, the social status of a shepherd was one that was looked down upon. They weren't very well respected. I love it that the ministry of Jesus that he did when he started doing his ministry, that he often spoke of shepherds and even spoke of himself as the good shepherd. He spoke of the relationship of the shepherd to the sheep and the sheep to the shepherd. I love a portion of scripture when Jesus was talking one day in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Now listen to what the good shepherd does. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But he said, you know, sometimes there's hired hands. He says, there's an idea that it can be somebody hired. It's a hired hand, and he's really not a shepherd who does not own the sheep. And you know what? When he sees a wolf coming, he just leaves the sheep, and he runs away. And the wolf will snatch up and scatter the sheep all over. You know that hired man that I just spoke about? He flees because he's a hired man, and he cares nothing about the sheep. But Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd, and I care about my sheep. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." I'm glad Jesus even increased the insignificance of the shepherd when he identified himself being a shepherd. And not only that, he said he was the good shepherd. I love Jesus shares about this relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, that he cares so much for them that he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. That is so difficult that when one was hired to be a shepherd, he really does not care about the sheep, and he's going to run off. But greater than that, I love it that the good shepherd says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Another they will not follow," Jesus said. "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." What a beautiful thing. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. You know, folks, when I used to work on the farm, when I was a young boy, worked on the farm, and we'd have to go get the cows. Now, let me just share this with you because it's so good to know. When you go get the cows, you didn't go out to the field and say, "Follow me, follow me." No, you took along a little stick with you, and you know what you do with cattle? You drive cattle. But in biblical times, when they had the shepherds, they never drove the sheep. They always led the sheep. I've always loved that about what Jesus said. He saw a group of people many different times when Jesus was preaching. A big group of people would gather. And I don't know what you think of when you see a group of people, but I taught myself to think the same as Jesus thinks. Sometimes when I watch a group of people like Jesus did, he said when he saw the crowds, he had compassion upon them. Now listen to why he had compassion. Because they were harassed. They were helpless, and he says they were like sheep without a shepherd. So you know what Jesus did? He sat down and taught the people. That said of him in two or three different places. I believe it's so beautiful that when God wanted to announce the birth of his son Jesus, that angels came to do that, and it should have been. But I believe it's so beautiful that the angels came in the middle of the night to insignificant shepherds. And he told them, you know how to lead. So what he wanted them to do, he wanted them to lead in going and finding this one Jesus and then sharing the good news of the birth of Jesus. And we'll find out as we continue in our story of the shepherds, they did exactly that. everywhere they went, they shared the good news that was given to them. And we'll talk about that good news in just a moment. But the main thing I want to get you out of this portion of the scripture is that the shepherd leads. God wants to lead you. He says that in Psalm 20, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. The shepherd goes before us, and we're told to follow him. And we hear his voice, and his voice is what we follow. His voice we know, and we know it very well. That's what God's reminding us. I believe Christmas 2018 is that God is saying, I just love to take the insignificant and make it significant. I just love to think about that he used the shepherds to bring about what he wanted. I'm going to pause for just a moment and listen to a song. This song is talking about we are the shepherds. We are the shepherds that God spoke to. And I want you to listen as you listen to the song. I want you to listen with this in mind, that these shepherds are trying to say how special that was to them. And you know, it becomes more special when you don't believe you deserved it. We're living in a day and age where it's what's called entitlement. We think we deserve more than we deserve. But those shepherds didn't feel that way. And that's why I believe God came to them, because of that gentleness in their lives, the way they led the sheep. He wanted them to lead in this message that he was going to give. So we'll listen to this song. I'll be right back soon as it's over.
So here is the stable, and there is the manger. The new Savior sleeps on his first earthly night. The wise men brought riches, but we brought a candle. It's all that we have, but it gives a good light. We are the shepherds. We walked across the mountains. We left our flocks when the new star appeared. Oh, the beautiful singing of heavenly choirs. We had to come see him. We had to come here. We beg you, forgive us for such a small offering. But our sheep are out there with wolves in the night. We bring you this candle, 'tis all we have with us. But with it, the new Savior has his first light. We are the shepherds, we walked across the mountains. We left our flocks when the new star appeared. And the beautiful singing of heavenly choirs. We had to come see him. We had to come here. We thank thee, kind Joseph, for bidding us enter. Please take our gift for the new babe of thine. 'Tis only one candle, but it is our symbol of how we believe that his great light will shine. We are the shepherds, we walked across the mountains. We left our flocks when the new star appeared. All the beautiful singing of heavenly choirs. We had to come see him. We had to come here.
Don't you like that, folks? Don't you like that idea of that's in that song? You know, that's probably going to stick with you all the rest of the day. We are the shepherds. You know, that's something very special to realize. God used those insignificant shepherds to bring about the results that he wanted to have. And that's so special, that message. And I kind of like that song saying they brought a candle, because that's what happened to them in the middle of the night when that messenger came from heaven to share with them the message that he had. The shepherds learned about the birth of Jesus. This is my favorite part of the Christmas story. The birth of baby Jesus. The story of the shepherds and how these ordinary people fit into the birth of the Lord Jesus. In the book of Luke chapter 2, it says this, "And Joseph also went from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So he registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and she laid him in a manger. She did that because there was no place for him, for them in the inn. And in the same country, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." The story of the birth of Jesus as it unfolds step by step, as we see Mary and Joseph travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, along with many other people that responded to the need of a registration for a census that was being taken. This caused all kinds of people to be in the city of Bethlehem, and there was no vacancy in any of the inns that the city had, and Mary and Joseph had no place to stay. Wouldn't you know that that would be the time that Mary was to give birth? You know, you say, wait a minute, God's the God of all creation. He's sending his one and only son into this world. Why is it happening that the city of Bethlehem is full and there's no place for them in an inn? This is God's son being born. This is the son of God. This is the savior of mankind. This is the king of kings. And he's going to be born in a stable? His first bed for his first night's rest is going to be a manger, which is really a feeding trough. Is that where they're going to lay him? Wouldn't you know, this baby Jesus is born at the only place they could find, a stable with there was other animals. He was born, and Mary wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger. You know, but think with me. No one on earth knew that this was happening. But I'm so glad we can know that heaven knew. Heaven knew what was happening. Heaven knew that there's going to be a baby in the manger. Because the angels, when they came with their message to the shepherds, a part of their message says this: "This shall be a sign unto you." This is how you're going to be. There may have been more than one baby born that evening, folks. But this is a sign unto you. You'll find a baby lying in a manger. Remember my main thought this week, this message today? Insignificant. Jesus was born in an insignificant place. Jesus spent his first night in an insignificant manger. That's God sending his son. No wonder it tells us in the scripture later, he who was rich was willing to become poor for us, that we, through his poverty, might gain the riches of God. Jesus was willing to do that. I love a phrase that often I like to use from time to time. The phrase is going on like this: there's something happened here in Bethlehem, but at the same time, out there in the fields outside of Bethlehem, up in the hills, there's shepherds, and they're retired for the night. It's been a busy day for them. And they're keeping watch over their flock by night. By the way they did that is at nighttime, other shepherds would bring their sheep together. They'd try to find one place to have a fold, a place to hold them. And then each shepherd would take turns keeping watch at the nighttime. And we realized that was something that was very special that was happening at that time. It was nighttime, and that night when Jesus was born, there were shepherds resting with their sheep after a very busy day, not knowing anything that was taking place in Bethlehem. They didn't know that. They had no idea of that. What I like to think about this is for Christmas is that many times in our individual lives, there's things that seem to overwhelm us. Like there's no room in the inn. Like, wouldn't you know, after Mary and Joseph traveled so far from Nazareth to Bethlehem, now there's no room in the inn. And now the only place they can stay is in a stable. And Mary and Joseph, I think, would have been fine with that, from what I've learned of them. But wouldn't you know, that's when the baby Jesus' time is to come. He's going to be born that evening. Shepherds out there in the hills, they know nothing about that. But that's so special how God does that. I believe Christmas is teaching me that God knows and that God cares. Heaven knew, and heaven knew because God knew that baby Jesus is born in a manger. Nobody in Bethlehem knew. The shepherds didn't know. You know why I found this little thing that says this? In big or small, God cares about it all. Let me say that again. In big and small, God cares about it all. Let that sink in a minute. The big things in your life, God cares. The small things in your life, God cares. And he often shows his care in a very special way. I believe, from what I know about God, he's proud that his son, baby Jesus, is born in a manger. That's who Jesus is going to be. He's going to be the one to show us the simplicity of God. So often we realize that we don't realize that God is so big, and he is. But at the same time, he wants to live in my insignificant heart. And he wants to live in your insignificant heart. And he wants you to understand that he loves and cares for you as an individual. I need to move on because my time is moving on fast with me. The shepherds learned of the birth of Jesus. I love the announcement, the way the announcement came from heaven. It was delivered by an angel. And you know, the first part of that message that was delivered by an angel was these words, "Fear not, fear not." Luke chapter 2, verse 9, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them. Remember, it's night, and the glory of the Lord, a great light shone around them. And they were filled with fear. I think if I was there, and all of a sudden the skies lit up, and all of a sudden there's an angel, I think I would have fear too. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now listen, here it comes from heaven. And this is a sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. As the message was delivered to the shepherds, they were filled with fear, and the message from the angel was, fear not. The same message was given to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 30. The angel said, fear not. The same message was given to Joseph. Fear not, Joseph, to take Mary to be your wife. That message of fear not just goes over and over again. And I believe that Christmas is a message to you and I. Say, fear not. Fear not. Trust God. Tell you, Christmas shows how God's able to put things together and how God's able to make things work out. Jesus was going to bring faith, and faith will drive out fear. And God shows that to be true in the life of Mary. She was fearful at first, but in obedience she did what God wanted her to do, and she gave birth to the baby Jesus. Joseph was fearful at first. He didn't want anything to do with this deal, but he responded in obedience and faith. And God has that same plan for you and I. Just think, this message of fear not that was given to Mary, it was given to Joseph, and when they were going through one of the toughest times in their life, and yet they believed the message. And the same was true of the shepherds. I believe God is saying to your family, I believe God is saying to my family, Christmas 2018, it don't matter what you're going through, folks. Fear not. Fear not. I came across this, but I got to tell you right up front, I didn't study it out to see if it's really true. But it says, the Bible says, do not fear or fear not. 365 times in the Bible, the words fear not or do not fear are used. And then the one that did that study says, there's one for every day of the year. 365 fear nots. I think God's saying that to each one of us, and especially saying that to you and I as we go through Christmas 2018. Don't be afraid. Don't have fear. You see how God worked it out in the first place? God can work out things in your life. That's proof. And Jesus is going to be there to help you do that. The shepherds learn of this baby Jesus, and an announcement comes, and it's a tremendous announcement. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. I think every one of us like to get good news. Sometimes, you know, you hear somebody say, well, I got good news and I got bad news. I don't know what you say. I always want to say, give me the good news first. You know, God's coming with good news. But even better than that, it's going to be great joy. It's going to bring some happiness to you, to your life. That will be for all people. God is reminding us it's not for just a few. This good news and this joy is for all people. It's for everyone. And the way it's going to be for everyone is because this one Jesus is for everyone. For unto you and your house, me and my house, is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's good news, folks. And we need to respond to that good news. That good news is that there's help on the way. The word Savior means he's going to be a provider for you. And you know what he's going to provide for you, folks? And what he provides for me? Is that what we cannot provide for ourselves? He's going to provide a price that he's going to pay with his life to satisfy the holiness of God. So once and for all, sin could be forgiven. You know, back in that Old Testament time, what they did every year, they came to the temple. And they bought the best sheep that they had. And the whole family laid their hands upon that sheep, and then that sheep would be slaughtered. That sheep would be killed, and the blood of that sheep would cover their sins for that year. And we need to know that Jesus was going to do that for us. Matter of fact, John the Baptist pointed him out as, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. You know, I like the next part of that message just as beautiful. And I like the way it's said. You know, that angel, by now we're kind of feeling a little more calm because he's told us to fear not if you're a shepherd and you're there. But then all of a sudden, there's a multitude. And multitude in the Bible means an uncountable number. It's just everywhere of heavenly hosts. And they're all talking in one chord, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward man. You know, sometimes, folks, it doesn't look like there's much peace. But you know, one of the names for Jesus is Prince of Peace. And you know, we really can't have peace if we don't want the Prince of Peace. I love it in the New Testament when God's talking about that through some of the apostles that followed. He said you can have peace of God and you can have peace with God. And he said, you know about this peace that God gives you? It passes all of your understanding. It just comes like no other peace you've ever known. And we need to realize that's the message from heaven. That's the message to earth. Glory to God in the highest. That's where it has to begin. And on earth, peace. And how's that peace going to begin? By having goodwill toward one another. Instead of fighting one another. Instead of doing all those kinds of things. I love that the shepherds shared the message with others. You know what they ended up doing? They came with haste. They said, after the angels was gone, they said, let's go see for ourselves. Let's go see things that are taking place. And they came with haste, and they found Mary, and they found Joseph, and they found a baby lying in the manger. What was the sign unto the shepherds? You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in the manger. I can't imagine what that must have been for those shepherds to go into that manger scene and see that teeny little baby. That's why I love telling that story. I like thinking about what that was like for them as they bowed down to that teeny little baby. They're laying in a manger. They also told Mary the things that had been said. They told Mary about the idea that this shall be a sign unto you, shall I find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and here he is. They could tell him also to Mary, the angel said, fear not, for I bring you good news, which shall be for all people. Then can't you just hear the shepherd saying, and then you know what happened next? All of a sudden the sky was full of angels, and they're all talking at one time. And they said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. I think that's so important to get a hold of what that message was. But you know something? Everywhere they went, they told the story of what had happened. I think that when they left the manger scene, when they left the stable, when they went around and told different people, and nobody seemed to really care. They didn't seem to be concerned about this baby that was born in a manger. They didn't seem to understand what it was like. And when they told those things to Mary, the scripture tells us that Mary pondered them in her heart. We don't give enough attention to Mary, the Mother of God. You know, that's so special for us to realize that God found one that he could trust with his son Jesus. And God did a good job in picking Mary because she never left him. She was there. She was there when he did the first miracle he ever did. She was there many other times. She was there when he was beaten and bruised. She was there, dear people, at the foot of the cross. She was there. That love of that mother. She not only watched her son come into this world, she watched her son go out of this world. And the price that he paid that we might have the forgiveness of sin, I say, is so wonderful. And everywhere the shepherds went, they were glorifying and praising God. They caught it from the angels and told all the things that they had seen and what was told unto them. Christmas 2018. At your address and at my address. I got my manger scene up this week. The angels are, my manger scene is there. Mary and Joseph, the shepherds. There's some wise men there. And you know, that's so special. That manger scene, we've been putting it up now for around 30 years. And I just enjoy doing it every year. Christmas at our address, Christmas at your address this year, I trust it would be God's richest blessing to be upon you. And you know, about the only way I can say that is to repeat some words that the angel shared when Jesus came into this world. I believe it's the same words that God wants us to hear Christmas 2018. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward man. How are you doing with those three things, folks? Are you giving glory to God in the highest? You got peace within your own heart and trying to be at peace with the rest of them in your family and your friendship circle? Do you have goodwill toward your fellow man? Every single one of us should. It's going to be my time to go, and I want to listen to a song that just kind of goes a little deeper than I did about this one from Mary's heart. As you listen to this song, it's trying to tell you that Mary wanted to have Jesus at least one night to herself. Let me have a night as mother. Let him have a night as son. And let me receive the blessing of what God has brought about. Let's thank God. Bless you. Merry Christmas.
Mary must have felt as she kissed his rosy little cheek. She knew he was Messiah. She knew she held the key. But as she watched his tiny belly rise and fall asleep, I wonder if she struggled with all he'd have to bear. I wonder if she whispered this little prayer. Give me this night to just be his mother. Give him this moment to just be my child. He has the rest of his life to be Savior, but so little time to simply be mine. So give me, please give me this night. How she must have held him tightly as he slept, as if she never let him go. And even though tomorrow her child would rule the world, her anxious heart was torn between amazing fear and hope. I wonder if she struggled with all he'd have to bear. If she whispered this little prayer, give me this night to just be his mother. Give him this moment to just be my child. He has the rest of his life to be Savior, but so little time to simply be mine. So give me, please give me this night. God, you gave him to me, and I gave him life. Now with him in my arms and me in his eyes, this is much more than I ever could wish. You can have his tomorrows, but please grant me this. Give me this night to just be his mother. Give him this moment to just be my child. He has the rest of his life to be Savior, but so little time to simply be mine. He has the rest of his life to be Savior, but so little time to simply be mine. So give me